One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler who belonged to the Pharisees, they were watching him. Now he told the parable to those who were invited, when he marked how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a marriage feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest a more eminent man than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give place to this man.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Jesus said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your kinsmen or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The teaching of Jesus in this Gospel does not seem to be so important. It seems like he's talking about something rather frivolous. He's giving a lesson on how to act at a social gathering. But we have to understand that Jesus Christ is Lord, and so his words are very important. Sometimes we can allow his teaching to pass us by as if it's not important, but it's very important to us here and now. St. Luke in this Gospel tells us that what Jesus says is a parable, and so his words are meant to bring us beyond what we immediately hear him saying. Jesus is not teaching us about what to do at social gatherings. Rather, he's teaching us about how to live as citizens of his heavenly kingdom. The lesson here is obvious: humility. Jesus is calling us to be humble. If you go back to the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden, the devil tempts Adam and Eve with pride. He tries to get them to think that they'd be better off without God. "You can be like gods if you disobey God." They gave in to this temptation, and that led them to reject the law of the Lord and brought great misery into their souls. The spirit of evil continues even our own day to tempt us to a pride that makes us think that we don't need God, that we can live without his grace and without his truth. Jesus, in his public ministry, spent most of his time teaching, and here he's teaching us humility. He worked some miracles, but he spent most of his time teaching and teaching and teaching. It's as if he's trying to undo what happened in the Garden of Eden with the lie of the devil. The devil's lies malformed the minds of Adam and Eve, and the truth of Jesus is here to form us into the best way and the right way of thinking. Jesus tells us, with regard to humility in today's Gospel, he says that when we are invited, that we must go and take the lowest place. When you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place. Humility. Well, the question is now, what are we invited to? Well, we could say, you and I, have been invited to life, to the table of life. You know, 100 years ago or 200 years ago, none of us existed. 1,000 years ago, our grandparents, great-grandparents, and even beyond that, did not even exist. In our body and our soul, we did not exist. But God, in his wisdom and in his love, created us and invited us to the banquet of life. And he tells us, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place. There are two ways to live in this world. Either we take the way of pride and arrogance, and this leads us to reject the law of God, leads us to never repent of our sins, leads us to not trust in God, and it can lead us to look down upon others and belittle other people. That's one way, pride and arrogance. Or we can take the way of humility. This humility leads us to love God, to follow his law, It leads us to acknowledge our own sins and repent of them as best we can. And it leads us to respect the dignity of other people. The Lord Jesus, in his teaching, he tells us that the great commands are to love God and love one another. He keeps those two commands together. We can't only love God and still belittle other people and disrespect them and put them down and treat them unfairly. And we can't go about loving one another and have no regard for the things of God and live in sin. No, Jesus will have none of that. He tells us to love God and love one another. The way of humility is what he's calling us to. At the end of this first part of the parable, Jesus says, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled." To exalt oneself is to take the way of pride and arrogance. "And he who humbles himself will be exalted." To humble oneself, the way of humility, of loving God and neighbor. Now we can understand this teaching of Jesus quite easily with regard to the final judgment, when Christ comes again in glory at the end of time, and all the angels with him, when we ourselves face our death. There will be, in the end, ultimate justice. All of the sins in the world will be accounted for, and people who committed the sins will own their own sins. There is ultimate justice. Those who exalted themselves in this life over and against God and against others will be humbled in the end. And the humble, those who bow down before the law of God and who treated others as equals, will be exalted into the kingdom of heaven. That's reality. That's the way it is. But what frustrates us quite a bit in this teaching is that in this life, in this world, right now, it seems that the proud and arrogant are the ones who are exalted. They are the ones who get into positions of power, positions of control and influence in the workplace or in any organization. Those who do evil, who cheat others, who belittle others and lie, who live in sin, they seem to be the ones that are exalted, that they win all the time, that they're in charge. And the humble seem to be those who are downtrodden. They're abused, they're passed over and neglected, they're belittled and treated with tremendous disrespect. Their lives are accounted for as nothing. This frustrates us very much. We feel there is no fairness in this world. But there is a higher wisdom to the gospel. Look to Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary. She lived the gospel perfectly. She's the perfect disciple of Jesus Christ the Lord. And so she lived the teaching in this gospel that I read to you perfectly. The teaching about the humble being exalted and the exalted being humiliated. When Our Lady visits her cousin St. Elizabeth when they're both pregnant, Mary with the baby Lord Jesus in her womb, and St. Elizabeth with the baby St. John the Baptist in her womb, Our Lady proclaims the greatness of God. We call this her Magnificat. And she proclaims, "God has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly." Now she says that with her entire being. Her soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord and rejoices in God, her Savior. She proclaims that God has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. She could perceive this even in this world, in this life. Mary, in her life, will go through great sorrows, beginning with the prophecy of Simeon, which declared that her divine son will be something that is contradicted, that a sword of sorrow would pierce her heart. Then she has to become a political refugee when an insane politician, King Herod, who himself has no regard for the dignity of human life, wants her family destroyed. Then she loses her child Christ in the temple. She sees Jesus in the way of the cross, the crucifixion, his death on the cross, and his burial. Great sorrows come into her heart in this life. Yet she never loses her proclamation of the greatness of the Lord. Her entire life is a Magnificat. Even in the midst of these sorrows, God has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. In her, we can learn a lesson. Even in this world, the humble are exalted. How is this the case? The humble, those who love God, who follow His law, who repent of their sins, who trust in God's word, they have a soul that lives in a state of grace. And that's the exaltation that Christ gives to us. Those who have a soul in a state of grace, those who live a life of holiness, they are filled with God's blessings, with His grace, with His life. Their soul perceives how near God is to them. And also, they are exalted in their relationships. For them, all their friendships are real, because they love their friend simply because their friend is there. A good example of where the humble are exalted, even in this life, by the grace of Jesus, is the sacrament of reconciliation. When we go to confession, we have to humble ourselves. We confess all of our sins that we can remember, and we hear the words of absolution. And those who have made a good confession and receive the grace of this sacrament come out of the confession feeling brand new on the inside. They feel they have been exalted above, lifted up above the evil of sin. The humble are exalted, even in this world, by the grace of the Lord Jesus. And the proud, the mighty, they are cast down. Why? Remember, these are the ones that don't care about the things of God. They live in sin, and they treat others with disrespect. Their souls are weighed down by their sins. Though they may have tremendous success and power in this world, day after day, hour after hour, they bear in their souls the misery of their sin, and they experience it. Even they experience this humiliation in their friendships, because most of their friendships are phony, because they only befriend someone in order to advance their own cause for power. They use people. But the humble go through life exalted. Dear brothers and sisters, our number one desire should be to make it to heaven and to live a truly good life in this world. By doing this, we become free of the many corruptions that can take over someone's heart. Living a life of holiness, obeying the law of the Lord in all humility, treating others as with the dignity that they deserve as human persons. This keeps us risen above all of the corruption of evil that has swallowed up the lives of so many people in our time. Let us choose once again the way of humility, humility before God and humility before others. This is the way of Our Lady, it's the way of the Lord Jesus, it's the way to heaven. This way of humility is the way that will fill our souls with the light of Christ and with the peace of Christ. Let us walk on this way and begin again, if we must, to walk the way of humility. Then we can share the spiritual gifts of the grace of Christ, of His light and His peace, to those around us. God bless you.